Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 13 of the ZU Cast. I'm Amanda Van Heil. I'm going to be hosting, joined by Kelly. Kelly, why don't you introduce yourself?
You already did it for me. I'm Kelly, the editor, and I'm hosting again because apparently you guys like that or something. I don't know. I just do what the boss tells me.
I'm excited to have you hosting.
Yay! We've been wanting to host together for a while, so this will be a fun little girls-only podcast. Not really, but...
Right? Think they'll be able to tell us apart, two girl voices talking?
Oh, no. Uh-oh. Yeah, that might be... Hang on, we didn't think this through.
We'll just both exaggerate our accents a bit. That way they can go, okay, the Minnesotan's Kelly, the Southern one's Amanda.
Yeah, right? I'll just have to start saying words like bag and room and rag and Minnesota.
And I'll just add a few extra syllables to every word because that's what we do down here.
Perfect. That'll work.
So Brian Thomas is going to be kicking it off with, hey, listen, Age of Calamity hype. I know I'm excited about Age of Calamity.
We'll talk about that a little bit later. Trust me.
Yeah.
We're excited. After that, we've got Zelda Enemies, and it's going to be about the Zoras from Shona.
Then Randy is talking about what if Zelda was a mobile game.
And also, as always, the community news with Anne and Realm.
And Elias is bringing us some fake Zelda history.
Oh boy. Can't wait for that long, long, long segment, y'all.
Oh, Elias.
We love him. What can we say?
We do.
It is true. He's the best Elias around.
I agree. I don't know any better Eliases than Elias.
That's very true. All right. Well, with that, let's go ahead and push it on over to Brian with his Age of Calamity hype. Take it away.
What's going on, everybody? It's me, Brian Thomas, and today I want to talk about why I'm excited for Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity. Even though I find the Warriors IP and other Musou games dreadfully boring, I mean seriously, I feel like a re-dead while playing those games. But first, a little history lesson. The Warriors games have been on the market for quite some time, aging back to 1997 on the PS1. The first Dynasty Warriors game was actually a one-on-one fighting game and much different to the Dynasty Warriors you may or may not be imagining. It wasn't until Dynasty Warriors 2 on the PS2 that the franchise took the form of hack and slashing your way through multiple enemies on a battlefield. Since then, there have been 9 mainline entries into this series and multiple spin-offs, including Hyrule Warriors on the Wii U back in 2014, which leads us to our topic for today. Why I, someone who has always been bored of the Warriors franchise, is extremely excited for Age of Calamity, and why, frankly, you should be too. Prior to Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity, I haven't had the slightest interest in Musou games because of the repetitive gameplay mechanics, unengaging narrative, and worn-out setting. Those things would swiftly move my focus to another game that I had had in my library. And while I must admit that the gameplay does look extremely similar to those that come before it, Age of Calamity capitalizes on my already growing nostalgia for Breath of the Wild, and my yearning for Breath of the Wild 2. The first thing that caught my attention was Koei Tecmo deciding to use the same art style as Breath of the Wild. Seeing that Hyrule again immediately made me want to play Breath of the Wild again, but when I heard that Koei Tecmo was working directly with Nintendo and, more importantly, the Zelda team, I realized that Age of Calamity wasn't just another spin-off, it's a prequel. With Koei Tecmo working with the Zelda team on world-building, dialogue, story, and gameplay mechanics ensures and eases my mind that this game is going to be a proper entry into the Zelda franchise and not just another spin-off. Age of Calamity being set 100 years prior to Breath of the Wild is a smart and advantageous use of the Warriors' gameplay mechanics, because what better way to experience that war than actually fighting through it? And the Warriors' gameplay does just that. The 1 versus 1000 gameplay complements the story of the Great Calamity mentioned throughout the Breath of the Wild story, and will allow Koei Tecmo to seamlessly blend their tried-and-true gameplay with Nintendo characters and world-building. And it's more than just the same old gameplay from a Warriors game. From the videos that we have seen, Age of Calamity includes the use of traditional Zelda weapons, but also the Sheikah Slate and the Champion's abilities. Integrating the Champion's abilities like Urbosa's Fury or Mipha's Grace into the gameplay mechanics of Age of Calamity is a clever way to expand upon the lore of Breath of the Wild and fully flesh out the champions outside of the memory cutscenes we've already seen. More than just diving deeper into the characters we rarely get to see in Breath of the Wild, players will also be able to visit different locales throughout this Hyrule, meaning we are going to be able to see what this Hyrule looked like and how its citizens interacted with one another before the Great Calamity. Recent videos have shown off Lon Lon Ranch and how it looks similar to its Ocarina of Time counterparts. Small details like this are going to help fully flesh out the story arc of this Hyrule, and as a fan of the series, I couldn't be more excited to continuously receive the amount of Zelda content we're getting this console cycle. I can't remember a time that I was more excited for a story of a Zelda game rather than its gameplay. And while I understand that I'm not the targeted audience for Age of Calamity's gameplay, and I can even admit it looks great, but the main reason I'm buying this game is for the story it's going to tell. I want to know what happened during the Great Calamity. I want to see how our champions came together. I want that assemble moment. I want to see the relationship between Princess Zelda and the King of Hyrule. I want to see all of Breath of the Wild's memories expanded upon to help realize the events of the Great Calamity. Ultimately, what has me most excited for Hyrule Warriors: Age of Calamity is how closely involved Nintendo is with this project. Teaming up with Koei Tecmo to expand the universe rather than letting them just create another spin-off is the key factor in my optimism for this game. With the Zelda team hard at work creating the sequel to Breath of the Wild, and working with Koei Tecmo to develop its prequel, the Nintendo Switch will have a Breath of the Wild trilogy by the end of this console's life cycle. So there you have it, folks, my rationale as to why I'm so enthusiastic for an entry into the Warriors franchise, even though every game prior to this I've passed on. And while the game could turn out to be a huge disappointment for me, I'm still eagerly awaiting November 20th with bated breath to once again dive into the land of Hyrule. So, how do you feel about Hyrule Warriors: Age of Calamity? Are you beyond excited for it, or are you cautiously optimistic like myself? Either way, please let me know, and the best way to do that is on Twitter. You can find me at itzamebt, that's itzamebt. And thanks for listening to Hey, Listen!
All right, Kelly, what are you excited about for Age of Calamity?
The game itself, because I had so much hype for Hyrule Warriors, and I didn't really like the game that much. I hate saying it. I don't know, like, hack and slashes are always a little hard for me to get into because it's literally just hack and slash. You just button mash the whole time. And I really wanted it to be, like, more of a Zelda story, which, I mean, it had that. It was there. But it just wasn't as good as I had hoped. And I'm really hoping that Age of Calamity is going to take what Hyrule Warriors was supposed to be and do it correctly. What about you?
Yeah, I totally get that. Because, like, I'm like you. I didn't love Hyrule Warriors. And I'm really big on a story. And mm-hmm. I really want to see what caused Breath of the Wild to happen. So yep. That's going to be really cool.
Oh, yeah. It'll be definitely interesting to see how they wanted this all to begin, because in my head, as like with game design and that knowledge, you don't write a story and then be like, okay, I want to add the beginning part on now. It's like they probably had this beginning part for a while. So I want to see the full story, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Because there's like so much we don't know. Mm-hmm. And the whole point of Breath of the Wild is trying to at least piece some memories together to get an idea as to what happened. But That was just the too long didn't read version of what happened.
Very true, very true. Yeah. And it's definitely going to be cool being able to play as these different characters, because like now we know these characters and we love these characters. If we got this beforehand and it was just like, hey, here's the Zora person that you can play as, everybody would be like, I don't know who the Zora person is. I want to play as Link. So I think they did a very good job with giving us the full game first and now this kind of side questy type game, because it's got all these characters that we learned about and that we want to learn more of, and like I said, we get to play as them now, so it's kind of, I think it's going to be really good. I got my hopes up. I hope it's going to be really good. And also, you get to fly the Guardians. What? You get to control them? I'm super stoked for that.
And I just can't wait to be Urbosa, because I love her so much. Like, yep. From the very first time I saw Urbosa, I'm just going, I want to be her. Like, want to be her. Now I get to be her. Or, you know, yay! What? That's a good point, Kelly, like being friends. Because, you know, like at Disney and stuff, if you play a character, you're friends with the character. So I want to be friends with Urbosa.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I mean, I'm excited to kind of see the different play styles, because like with the Guardians, you have you have their different weapons. So you got like the bow and arrow, and then you've got the staff, you've got a sword and a shield, you know, and you have these different types of fighting mechanics. And I really, really hope that that plays a large part of the game. Because it definitely was there in Hyrule Warriors, but I kept feeling like, okay, there should be more. Like, I want very unique style of fighting with a sword and a shield versus, you know, like, I want Urbosa's sword and shield to be different than Link's sword and shield. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So, I'm super excited. I think it'll be awesome. I think it'll be really fun to get a group together and play that, where you can have all four of the Guardians playing alongside each other.
Oh, that'd be so cool. And then, of course, the Egg Baby.
Egg Baby. It is the child.
Yeah, the child is going to join all of my Baby Yoda merch. So there's going to be, like, I really hope they make a bunch of Egg Baby merch so I can add to it. Because I have so much Baby Yoda stuff. And so this is just like the year of babies, because Baby Sidon is going to be there. And between Baby Yoda and Baby Egg and Baby Sidon, it's just the babies.
Yeah, just they're going to take over. It's just what can we get out of this is just cuteness. We're just going to get cuteness and we're all going to love it. And it's going to be adorable.
Yeah.
Well, with that, let's go ahead and move on to Shona's segment. She's going to go ahead and talk to us about Zelda enemies.
Hey folks, Shona here. I've been talking a lot about Zelda enemies in recent episodes, and today is no different. I'm back to talk about another enemy I really like. The Zora. Okay, I know, some of you might be thinking, what are you talking about? Zoras aren't enemies, come on, Sidon believes in you. Well, let me tell you something, that's going to depend on which games you've played. Believe it or not, long before we met characters such as Sidon, Mipha or Ruto, Zoras started off in the Zelda franchise as enemies. They're actually one of the original enemies, making their debut in Zelda 1. They frequent most of the waterways in the game, sticking their head up above the water and spitting fireballs at Link. They can be kind of annoying when you're fighting other enemies on the screen, especially in the early game when you haven't upgraded your sword or shield. The funny thing about Zelda 1 is that this enemy wasn't called a Zora back then, it was Zola instead. The name Zola carried through to the Zelda animated series and other merchandise from that era, such as the board game. Zoras also appeared in Zelda 2, but as far as I'm aware, their name wasn't translated into English anywhere. In the third Zelda game, A Link to the Past, the name was changed from Zola to Zora. The enemy also appears in Link's Awakening, and it wasn't named in either the game or the manual, but the Nintendo Player's Guide calls it Zola. And then Zora has been used in every Zelda game since Ocarina of Time. So why did it change? Well, both Zora and Zola are technically correct. Zelda games are developed in Japan, and to most Japanese speakers, the English letters L and R sound the same, So when Zelda 1 was translated from Japanese to English, it was written as Zola. Now, localization errors in early video games were not uncommon, and not just with L's and R's. A famous example is that the Varia suit in the Metroid series was a mistranslation of the word barrier, so it really should have been the Barrier suit. Personally, I think Varia sounds way cooler. In the case of Zoras, it was a made-up creature for a fantasy video game, so I assume that no one knew any different at first. The name could have just as easily been Zola throughout the entire franchise. It was really just a matter of picking an L or an R and sticking with it consistently. So I'm glad that this finally happened after Ocarina of Time. Another mistake that happened with the translation of Zelda 1 into English is in the description of the Zora enemy in the instruction manual. It's described as half fish, half woman who lives in the water. In the original Japanese, it was a half fish human, so no gender was actually given. Coincidentally, both Zola and Zora are legitimate female names. Ocarina of Time introduced the Zora as a friendly race. If I jump back to the translation issue for one more moment, I have a story on a more personal level. Zelda 1 was my first Zelda game, then Zelda 2, and then Ocarina of Time. For a long time, I only knew of the Zora enemy as Zola. I thought they were female, and I didn't know anything about Japanese translation. So when I picked up Ocarina of Time and saw the fish people called Zoras, I remember thinking, oh, that reminds me a lot of Zolas. I didn't immediately realise that they were supposed to be the same, and so for a while in my head, the Zoras were the good ones and the Zolas were the bad ones. That might have worked for a while, but later games referred to both friendly and hostile versions as Zoras. So it's definitely supposed to be Zora. But whenever I play Zelda 1, I still like to call the enemy Zola. Something about that specific sprite and childhood memories, I suppose. It's pretty interesting that Ocarina of Time took an enemy from the earlier games and decided to change them into a friendly race, especially when the other races introduced in the game, like Gorons, hadn't existed previously. I don't think any other enemy has been given this treatment. Some friendly races, such as Gorons or Yuks, have been hostile to Link at times, but weren't actually enemies. And some individual members of enemy races, such as Moblins or Goraias, have been helpful toward Link. But no game has featured something like a village full of friendly Darknuts. There were hints that not all Zoras were evil in previous games. A Link to the Past had King Zora, who's more interested in money than attacking people, and sells flippers that allow people to swim in deep water. He also allows Link to travel between the Whirlpool warp points, which is pretty helpful. In Link's Awakening, there's a Zora hiding in Animal Village. When Link finds them, they tell Link that they're not a troublemaker and just want to live in peace. Most Zelda games with Zoras either have good Zoras or bad Zoras. There's only two games in which both have appeared together: Oracle of Ages and A Link Between Worlds. Oracle of Ages differentiates the hostile Zoras as River Zoras, while the peaceful ones are Sea Zoras. In A Link Between Worlds, most of the Zoras Link encounters are evil, but those in Zora's domain are not. Queen Orin of the Zoras tells Link that many of the Zoras are highly territorial, and they simply don't listen to her when she tells them that they should try getting along with people. For the most part, friendly Zoras are physically quite different from the enemy ones. They're more humanoid, they often have fish tails attached to their heads, and there's more diversity in their appearance. The enemy Zora have largely remained the same as their appearance in Zelda 1. They have fins on the top and either side of their heads, and large, wide mouths with sharp, prominent fangs. Their attack patterns are also very similar in most games. They either stick their head out of the water and shoot fireballs at Link, or in some cases, if the water is shallow enough, they jump up and chase him. They're a bit different in The Adventure of Link, where they're not found in water and will actually stand on either two or four legs. And I actually didn't recognise them as Zoras back when I first played the game. Overall, I would say that Zoras are not a particularly challenging enemy, because you can avoid them by simply dodging their attacks most of the time. But they can definitely be annoying if you're not looking out for them, especially if you don't have a shield that can block their attacks. Well, that's about all I have to say about the enemy Zoras today. I think they're pretty neat because they have such an interesting history with the way that they diverged into a friendly race while also being a prominent enemy. Is there another enemy race that you think would make a good friendly race? Let us know in the comments. Until next time, stay safe and watch out for those pesky Zoras if you go near the water.
So it's interesting how like the river Zoras are like the unsophisticated Zoras. So like the enemy Zoras, those are those are less refined, and then like the well-behaved ones are the nice ones, are the non-river Zoras.
Yeah, they're like the Zoras that are in the domain. They're like, we don't talk about the river Zoras.
We don't associate with those.
We're not a part of their group. But yeah, my biggest concern with the Zoras, especially in A Link to the Past, why did they shoot fire from their mouths? They live in the water. Can you explain
where did that fire come from?
Where does it come from?
I mean, there can be a fire on water if there's oil related. So there's got to be like some grease or some oil. Maybe they're cooking fish and chips and they're frying the fish. They're having a fish fry because they're in the water. So they're having a fish fry and that's where they get all the grease, and then it just grease fires. And so that's where the fireballs come from.
You know, maybe. Who knows? They could have just oil in their bellies. Maybe that's
true.
Maybe that's how it works. I don't know.
Maybe it's like the acid. Maybe they have really bad heartburn.
Ooh, yeah.
But they also have a lot of oil in there. And, which, I mean, I guess they could, because isn't there like, don't people go like whale, or did they went like whaling? They would get like whale oil and stuff. And
oh, yeah. I don't know.
So theoretically, that could be a thing.
I guess theoretically. So. Yeah, theoretically. I'm thinking about it now. I'm mulling it over.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely interesting kind of seeing this enemy that we ended up being friends with, and now with Age of Calamity, we're going to be playing as Azora. So it's kind of cool to see how they started off as an enemy and then slowly grew into this character that we know and love. And it's especially interesting because Shona mentioned how you wouldn't find a village of friendly darknuts, and now that's all I want right now.
Oh, I'm imagining that now.
Yeah, they're just misunderstood. It's okay.
Yep, they can't help it.
No, they weren't born bad. They were just under Ganon's control.
Yeah, I mean, the Deku Scrubs, those can be either like bad guys or good guys. Like, some of them are sweet and nice and just want to sell their seeds.
Yeah, I mean, that's an option. Yeah, I mean, in Majora's Mask, the one just wanted a moon's tear, and once you gave him that, he's like, cool, I'm gonna go now, so I'll talk to you later, you know, just very chill, very relaxed. But then in Majora's Mask, there were the mean ones, so
that's
true. What can you do?
I want a friendly Octorok. That's what I want.
Yeah, I could go for one of those too.
I want a friendly Octorok. And I also want evil Koroks. Evil Koroks. That would be hilarious.
Oh no. I don't know how I'd feel about that. They're I'd feel like they're watching me all the time because they can hide under everything. Oh man. Well, with that, let's go ahead and pass this over to Randy with his segment, What If Zelda Was a Mobile Game? Take it away, Randy.
One of the best things about Zelda is how flexible it is. I've said it before, but everybody comes to the franchise for different reasons. But it's not just the main games, oh no. We've seen Link, Zelda, and the rest as a board game, a cartoon, serial, and even the Abysmal Nightmare that was the CDI games. It's a wonder Nintendo let anybody else make another game in the series, but they did. And coming soon, we're going to have one such game with Hyrule Warriors: Age of Calamity. Now, I've talked about the original Hyrule Warriors a lot in my previous podcast series here on Zelda Universe, No, I've talked a lot about the original Hyrule Warriors in my previous podcasts here on Zelda Universe, so let's just say that I am beyond excited for not only a new Hyrule Warriors game, but one that takes place in the official Breath of the Wild canon. Crazy times. But what else could The Legend of Zelda be? What if it was... well? Any ideas? Hey, thanks for joining me here today. I'm Randy Marr, Assistant News Editor for ZeldaUniverse.net. I have a new series that kind of spins off my previous podcast run that I call What If Zelda Was? I hope you'll join me as I nerd out about different things that The Legend of Zelda could be someday. You might see a few coming, like a Hyrule MMO, but I hope at least a few maybe catch you off guard, like this one. What if Zelda was a match 3 puzzler? Whatever sound you just made, excited or disdainful, only fuels me to continue, so here I go. I don't even remember how long ago now. I think it was around the time that Mario Run came to mobile that Nintendo said they were working on a mobile Zelda game. And well, we're a long ways away from 2017, and that's still all we've heard about it. But my curiosity for what Zelda would look like on a mobile platform still rages on. Today I wanted to bring up specific ideas of a match 3 puzzle game featuring Triforce pieces of different colors and RPG-like elements. Imagine, if you will, an overworld map. Is it just Hyrule? Maybe beyond? Maybe it's through different eras. But you can journey on a quest to defeat several evil people and keep them from resurrecting Ganon. Are you Link? Could be. What about some original character protagonist, like in the Fire Emblem Heroes game? You could collect various Zelda monsters and NPCs to form like a party and take them into force battles, capital F, capital B. I'd like you to recall a game called Puzzle Quest. That's kind of what I'm going off of here, but with a triangle-based match 3 system. Different colors are different elements, can do different things like heal and game XP. And that's basically it, just instead of falling pieces Bejeweled style, these Triforce pieces would like slide in different directions and maybe, I don't know, maybe it'd be terrible, but maybe give you some different directions and actions you can take. I also think of something like Bejeweled Spin, where instead of just swapping two pieces, you're like rotating it, so like you would rotate a whole Triforce shape. Yeah, different ideas there. Again, I don't even know if those would work. Maybe games have tried before, but thematically, very good for Zelda. Now, this doesn't have to be a mobile game. It can also be on Switch. Free-to-play trappings are probably the most obvious point here because there's 1,000 games like this, but, you know, for some reason everyone will just complain that Nintendo's is more expensive than others despite being perfectly reasonable compared to its contemporaries, but that's another thing. Anyway, I've got a million of these Zelda mobile ideas. I probably won't spend any other future installments on them, but I will rattle them off right here. Hold on to your pants. 1. Spirit Track style game without going into dungeons. It's just trains, and I don't care what the rest of the game is. Trains. 2. It's just the part of Spirit Tracks where you're not on a train, but it's also a good game. Probably not possible. 3. It's the Wind Waker minigame where the guy yells Kablooey and sploosh a lot. But like, I don't know, player versus player, Words with Friends style board game action. 4. It's just Words with Friends, except the weird spelling for fairy counts. 5. It's some lame RPG like Raid Shadow Legends, and we're only playing it to unlock a costume for a main Zelda game or something. 6. Skyward Sword, but the phone is your Wii remote, and you'll never be able to see the screen because it's in your hand and you're flailing. 7. It's Skyward Sword, but instead of motion controls, it's touch controls, and you can swipe instead of swing, and that'll probably be better, right? Finally, maybe it's a dungeon maker, like in Link's Awakening, but with more online components, free-to-play transactions. You know, if you want to put Go Maracas in your dungeon, you're going to have to pony up a little bit there, fairy boy. All right, I hope this gives you an idea of the malformed train track that lies before you. We're going to be riding this rickety thing for a little while, so make sure your safety bar comes down correctly and... who am I kidding? It doesn't. See you next time.
So there's like a bunch of different directions you could really go with a Zelda game, and if we're a mobile game, like there's Pokemon Go that we all think of, and the Potter Go and Fire Emblem Heroes and all of that. If it went along the lines of like Hyrule Warriors, I could easily see that. Or if it's like a collect them all, gotta collect all the Koroks.
all the Koroks. All those golden Skulltulas, you know, just kind of going to certain areas and being like, okay, is this a spot where a Korok's hiding? Like, that would be kind of cool. And then, yeah, maybe, I'm thinking about it now. Maybe you go to a certain area and there's an enemy there and you have to defeat the enemy. And whether or not you defeat the enemy, it kind of goes into maybe then you can search the area and you'll either find a Skulltula or you'll find a Korok, and or maybe you won't find any of them. So you have to like search and move rocks and things like that, but you have to defeat an enemy first. Maybe.
Oh, what if like when you collected like either like the Skulltulas or the Koroks, they acted kind of like Pikmin, and so like you gathered them together and had them go out and do things, and so that's why you wanted to collect them, is they you got your little army of Koroks and Skulltulas.
I need an army of Koroks now. I didn't know I needed
an army
this.
Of Koroks.
I didn't know I needed this until you said something. But that is what I want. Yes. Where can we get it? Where do we sign up?
Well, next up, we have Anne and Realm giving us the community news.
Hey, nice to see you again. It's been a little bit.
Yeah, nice to see you too. It has been a while, and it feels like we say that every time.
That's true. No idea whose fault that could be. Hey, don't look at me like that.
Realm, we can't see each other, remember?
No comment.
All right. Moving on from that, hello everyone. We've got a lot of exciting news to share with you from the ZU Form community, so we don't have any time to waste on figuring out how realistic the script is.
It's called creative liberty.
Sure. Anyway, our first piece of news is an exciting new addition to the ZU Forums, a brand new board, a spam board to be exact. Ever felt like ZU just required too much work to write quality posts? You're in luck. In this brand new community board, any concept of post quality control is completely thrown out the window, allowing you to basically do whatever you want. Want to make a thread with just song lyrics? Sure. Make a poll that doesn't make any sense? Go for it. As long as it's spam, it's welcome here.
I think I'm required to remind you, though, that even if posting quality rules are relaxed here, regular forum content rules still apply.
To drop by and join the fun, just look for the spam board in the community section.
And do you think that this will get you to come back to join us on the forums? We do miss you.
Yeah, I've been kind of, let's just say, slacking on that. And I do apologize. I do need to go back to the forums because I really enjoy like posting all my art and just enjoying everybody's company, because it's just an awesome, relaxing community to go onto the forums. So yeah, I highly recommend anybody to go to the forums, and I need to do better.
We look forward to all of you showing up. Next up, for those of you who are already aboard the hype train for the upcoming Breath of the Wild prequel, Hyrule Warriors: Age of Calamity, we've already got you covered with a devoted thread in Future Zelda. This thread, which was started when the game was first announced by forum user Rain, has been the home of frequent updates on the game as they come, as well as lively discussion as to the plot, characters, and gameplay of the fast-approaching title. Upon recording, we've just recently received several new trailers for the game, so the thread, and board for that matter, is bustling with activity. If you want to join the discussion, be the first to know when a new trailer or piece of information drops, or just be part of the hype, this is the place for you. Make sure to check it out in the Breath of the Wild sequel and Age of Calamity board.
In some rather seasonal news, Mafia is back in full force with Monster Mafia, a new game run by forum user and Mafia aficionado, empty star. Discovering who the imposters are becomes especially spooky in this themed game featuring various well-known horrors paired with a very appropriate atmosphere, perfect for the coming Halloween season. And of course, for those who are more interested in gameplay than theming, you can rest assured that Mafia is still its same old murdery, backstabby, confusing self. While the game has already begun as of recording, one of the joys of Mafia is sitting back and watching other people get stressed out. So we highly recommend, at very least, taking a look, and maybe even sticking around to spectate. If the game is over by the time this episode releases, you can look back through the threads, and as always, find the next game, as well as everything else mentioned here in Community Central.
Speaking of murder, backstabbing, and friendship, the ZU community will soon be playing the breakout hit game that includes all three, Among Us. Join us in the next several weeks for a number of games live streamed on Twitch by the event's organizer, forum admin Pietro. While the main player list has been filled, there are backup spots still open, and spectators are, of course, always welcome. Find the thread, Don't Be Sus, Play Among Us, also in Community Central. Also, as always, we're obligated by certain people to tell you about the newest goings-on in the Creative Corner. First off, as always, writing contests are and have been underway, and while August only saw one entry, a new contest has already begun for September and October. The theme is, The Enemy of My Enemy is My Friend, and submissions are due by Friday, October 23rd. Get that writing in, I don't want to be in trouble.
In other creative happenings, the ZU Art and Creativity Show has returned for a second event. The theme this time around is somewhat sad in quarantine times, the great outdoors. And unlike the writing contest, participants are not limited to just one medium for entry: visual arts, writing, video, audio. It's all welcome. Just be sure your entries were in by the 17th. And if you're hearing this when it airs, we hope you did it in time. If not, you can always go check out the wonderful artwork the other participants submitted. Last off, in regular news, we have yet another survey thread from forum user Mirren, this time asking, who are your top 20 favorite bosses from the Legend of Zelda series? Whether your favorites are well-known or obscure, your input is appreciated. The thread, appropriately titled, can be found in General Zelda. While we don't exactly have time to list 20 here, do you have a favorite boss realm?
I gotta say that one of my favorites has always been Kolaktos from Skyward Sword. I think that there is few feelings cooler than destroying a boss with its own massive sword. And that boss has always just been one of the most fun from a gameplay perspective. And the design is really cool as well. How about you?
Personally, I didn't think of that boss until you ended up bringing it up. I really love defeating that boss with his own sword. But at the same time, I really have to go back to one of my old favorite games, Wind Waker, Jahala, where you defeat him. Well, pretty much you defeat him with the spin attack, which I absolutely love to do. As well as you do all the pose, get all the pose. It's just so fascinating chasing after them.
Finally, we come to the Z-Ewers of the Month. Well, we didn't have an episode where we told you, September's Z-Ewer of the Month was Turbo, formerly known as TurboGrafx-16, a relatively new member to the forum community. Despite that recency, they've already become a well-loved member of the community. Turbo is actually a close friend of mine, so I'll tell you what I have to say about them. Turbo seriously deserves this. They're a great member of the community and someone I am very lucky to be friends with. I really enjoy talking to them about all manner of things, and they're great to be around at game or movie nights. I really hope that we actually get to meet up sometime, because I think it would be a lot of fun. You're very knowledgeable about a lot of things that I find interesting, but know very little about, so it's cool to see you talk about them. Have a good month, except it was several months ago. And I hope you'll be on the forums for a long time to come.
October's CUer of the Month is Saber. A well-established and well-loved member of the ZU community, Silver said of Saber, "I've known Saber for many, many years, and she's always been a delight. Kind, fun, caring. She's just an all-around great person who I am honored to call a friend. I was so happy when she started being active on ZU and Discord again. She's always been a great contributor to the boards and is a great member overall. Congrats on your month, Saber. You definitely deserve this one. Congrats to both Turbo and Saber. We hope to see you both for many years to come."
Well, that's the end of our news for this time. Got anything you'd like us to mention here, personal or ZU related? Shoot myself, Anne, or Eslo Spirit a message. Have a great day!
I am the Zelda Anne.
And I'm Realm.
We'll see you next time.
So one of my favorite things to check out on the forums is just like all of the artwork and creative work that the community does. Like, I love all the art and some of the fanfics and that sort of thing. And like the musical creations, just all of the art.
Yes, we definitely are suckers for art. So Amanda, I think this is a good time for us to start requesting art from our fans because they are some really good artists out there, girl.
Agreed. So, you know, you can never go wrong with some Z-Link art, especially for me. You'll get a lot of brownie points from me. I don't know what you're going to do with the brownie points, but you'll have a lot of them if you make some Z-Link art or some art of me punching Ilya. That would be really cool because I don't like her. Or an army of Koroks.
Yes, the army of Koroks for sure. I'd like some Keaton art because I love the foxes, especially the Keaton mask and Majora's mask, and then seeing the Keaton with all of his tails. He's super, super cute. And I also really like Riju, so I mean, like, she's pretty cool. You could literally draw me anything that's related to Zelda and I'll love it.
Same. Like, I'm not going to see it and just go, "Oh, I hate this. It's Zelda artwork." I'm going to see it and go, "Oh, yay, Zelda artwork."
But what if it's just Ilya artwork?
If it's just Ilya, then I will throw darts at it.
Oh my god. But you'll appreciate it.
I will appreciate the craftsmanship and work that went into it. I can do that. I can appreciate the talent and skill that the artist had, despite them wanting to draw something. So horrific. Sometimes, well, art is to anger. That is one of the purposes of art, is to anger, and maybe that's what they would be going for.
Well, I to be honest, they're gonna succeed if they make Ilya art for you. So
that's true.
Yeah,
like they just have to go, "This is Ilya." They just put the word Ilya and I'm just gonna
That's one way to do it, I guess.
Yep.
All right. Well, moving on, we're going to go ahead to our last segment here with Elias Thompson. Take it away, Elias.
And now for an installment of Fake Zelda History with Elias Thompson. While many are aware that Shigeru Miyamoto got inspiration for the original Zelda title by exploring caves and fields as a child, what many do not know is that one of those caves had the capability of set point time travel, similar to the cave in the Netflix show Dark. After emerging from the cave into a post-apocalyptic world wherein he never made the Zelda series, Miyamoto-san embarked on a series of convoluted time-traveling adventures to get back to his original timeline, joined by a childhood companion who was dressed in a green fairy costume and often told him to listen and that his batteries were low. These adventures would later serve as the inspiration for the split Zelda timeline. This has been Fake Zelda History with Elias Thompson.
So a world without Zelda would absolutely be a calamity.
I see what you did there. I like
it. It would be the age of calamity.
Ooh, there we go. Okay, yeah. I mean, think of all the video games that we wouldn't have if Zelda didn't exist. Like,
yeah, because I mean, it influenced so many other titles. So like, many. I mean, Star Fox Adventures is essentially a Zelda game. Plus, we wouldn't know each other if it wasn't for Zelda.
I know. We wouldn't be doing this podcast. We wouldn't have this awesome forum. We wouldn't have this awesome website. We wouldn't have this awesome community. I mean,
right. I'm thinking of all the friends we have that we would not have if it weren't for Zelda. That, like, that's how we know them.
Oh, yeah. And it's like, you know, it just kind of goes to show how, like, a community, even just like, just a video game can bring a community together and bring people together to share something that they love. And I mean, they have people who are diehard fans, and then they have people who are just like casual fans. And like, that's okay. And especially with a franchise like Zelda, there are some people who've only played one Zelda game. There are some people who've played every single Zelda game. You know, it's just kind of this give and take. And, you know, especially with our community, like, we're all very accepting of each other. And, like, you know, of course we make fun of the people who like Zelda 2 and things like that. But, you know, we can get over it and move on and be friends. Because it's what Zelda and, you know, video games is all about, is just, like, having this fun adventure with others.
Yep, it's called a video game. You could do it, you play, and you have fun. And it's just, I love the personal connections that people get with the game. And it's, I mean, honestly, the personal connection I have with Zelda is why I don't like Ilya. Or I guess the personal connection I have, like, and you know, a lot of people are always like, oh my gosh, she's so petty, going on about, like, why she doesn't like Ilya. I'm going, first of all, it's supposed to be petty. But that's beside the point. But second, the whole purpose of talking about it is how people will, like, chronicle parts of their life based on, like, what grade they're in or what game you're playing at the time. And so, you know, I was like, I was playing Twilight Princess at the time. And it's like, this is how I was able to connect it. It bridges, like, different parts of your life. And so, like, it'll bleed into other things instead of just like, okay, I'm playing from 6 to 8. I'm going to play some Twilight Princess, and I will not think of Twilight Princess any further at all. Or while I'm playing Twilight Princess, I won't think of anything else in my life at all. It is Twilight Princess for these 2 hours. And these 2 hours only.
Yep. No, yeah, it's kind of the same with me. It's, you know, I always say that my favorite Zelda game is Majora's Mask. And, you know, the story was great and everything about that. But, like, the more or less, it was the time that I was going through in my life and how that game was a distraction for me. I was able to kind of turn off the real world and all these issues that were going on and just focus on this game. And it was honestly, like, the first game that I ever played that was quote-unquote scary. Because, like, I was in
that,
like,
game is scary. You know, that's not a quote-unquote. That is, like, full-on. That game's scary.
Yeah, I mean, and especially for, like, a younger child, like, not really knowing what it's about and just plopping it in and running around. Like, there's some scary imagery. There's some scary sounds, you know. And it was just kind of one of those, like, adventure games that, you know, half of me is just like, I wish I could forget playing the Zelda games so that I could replay them over again.
Oh, I know. Me too.
It's just, I mean, but I'm never going to forget, like, the memories that I had with playing Majora's Mask or Ocarina of Time or even Twilight Princess or even Skyward Sword. Like, you know, it's just, it's the moments in your life that you take from this and, like, where you were, who you were with, what you were doing, where you were in your headspace, where you were living, things like that. And it's just like, those are the memories that you hold on to. And that's, like, the best part about video games.
Yeah, like, Skyward Sword is the first Zelda game that my husband and I really played together, because that came out it came out a few months after we got married, and and that was the first Zelda game that brought Dan back to gaming. Like, so that's his favorite game, because he had not played a Zelda title since, like, the first one.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's just crazy seeing how all these different games, they resonate with differently with each person. And that's, like, the coolest part about video games, especially with a franchise and a series like this, where there are a bunch of different types of games. And, you know, it's just, it's so cool to kind of see where people start, where people pick things up on, and kind of where they go. It's just, it's so awesome. It's the best stories that come out of these video games, in my opinion.
They really do. I agree.
Oh, yeah. Well, that about wraps up this podcast. So, Amanda, where can people find you?
There are many places you can find me. When it comes to Zelda Universe, if it involves somebody being on camera and talking or being at a convention and talking, that's probably where you'll find me. You can find me hosting Zelda News on Zelda Universe TV, which is our YouTube channel. I also host the Twitch stream Running Blind on Sunday nights, and that is where I play games that I have never played before. And then you can also find me on Twitter at Amanda Van Heil, or on my own Twitch, which is Panda Princessa, and I play Zelda stuff there too, and other fun things like Ori and Metroid. Kelly, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter. I'm at Kelly the Editor. That's it.
And Kelly makes me look good on Zelda News.
I sure do, girl. I got your back.
My favorite is how, like, one time I was like, oh, man, for the longest time, I was like, man, I look good in this episode. Man, I look good in this episode. And then I saw how you essentially gave me a spray tan.
I sure
and
did.
I was like, oh, that explains why I look so good.
I know how to edit things.
And I just started laughing. I'm like, well, of course I do.
Sure,
movie magic
is what
Thanks,
I do.
Thanks, Kelly, for making me pretty.
You're welcome. I got you, girl.
Yeah.
All right, and with that, everybody's favorite segment is up next. It's the credits. All righty. Well, this is where we say goodbye, Amanda. I had fun. Thank you for doing this podcast with me. We'll have to do it again sometime.
Yeah, I had so much fun getting to host with you. Yeah. We could play off of each other. It was great.
Oh, yeah. It's super fun. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll hear you next time.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, take this, you little minions. Feel the wrath of my giant sail, for I am Bodhi McBoat King. Ha! 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 Oh, hello there. Sorry, I'm super pumped for Age of Calamity, so I've been playing one of my favorite video games a lot. Hyrule Warriors. It's Hyrule Warriors. Sorry, one second. Let me pause this. There. Okay. I'm ready to credit some peeps. Amanda Van Heil and Kelly Timmerman hosted this episode of the ZU Cast. Brian Thomas presented another installment of Hey Listen to tell us why he's hyped for Age of Calamity in spite of the first Hyrule Warriors game. Which makes no sense because he should be hyped because of the first game, but... nah. Shona Johnson continued her series on Zelda enemies with a look at the strange yet fascinating evolution of the Zora race. Randy Marr returned to imagine what a Zelda game for smartphones could look like. Don't do it, Nintendo, but kinda do it, too. Realm and the Zelda Ann reported the spammy community news because of the new spam board. You know what I'm talking about. By demand, Elias Thompson presented another completely factual piece of fake Zelda history. Fact check that, Snopes. I'm Eden Biskin. I'm the executive producer. I'm also presenting the credits. Cody Davies, Habbo Hotel's own Codemaster D, is our consulting producer. In addition to co-hosting this episode, Kelly Timmerman is our head editor. Kelly does a lot for Zelda Universe, and every American should give thanks to her on Thanksgiving. Andy Bundy is our assistant editor. Let's give thanks to him, too. Pietro Bucci and Mary Stowe handle most of the PR for the podcast. Joshua Lindquist is our technical advisor and is part of our graphics group, alongside Realm and Peyton Garrett, Club Penguin's own Emperor P. The ZUcast is a production of the ZUBC, a division of Zelda Universe. You can now listen to the podcast through Amazon Music, so go ask your annoying digital assistant to play our older episodes when you're done with this one. We're also on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher Podcasts, and Spotify, and really any app that can subscribe to RSS feeds. If you like us, or, you know, even if you hate us because that's how starved for feedback we've become, you can let us know through email, podcast@zeldauniverse.net, on the ZU forums in Community Central's ZUcast Hub 2020 thread, and or via ZU social media, which is @ZeldaUniverse on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and Zelda Universe TV on YouTube and Twitch. Our next episode will be even more calamitous than this one, so if you haven't subscribed to ZUcast yet, you should definitely fix that so you don't miss out on some quality Hyrule Warriors discussion. Assail the Bokoblin hordes! Until then, please stay safe. Bye. That took way too long to record.
And let's do 1, 2, 3, clap, like clap after
like
three.
What would be the four?
Okay. Yeah, what would be the four, yeah. Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3, clap. 1, 2, 3, clap.
I think cool. That was successful.
Successful. Here we go.
This is the ambient noise. All right. Then I start playing my game. And then my Joy-Con drifts. Cool. Oh my god, the Joy-Con drift is real. I just got my other pair replaced. I hate this. Alright. Starting in 3, 2, 1. No, no regens. No, no, no. Bad. Bad.
Well, yep. All right, let's get into it.
All right. So the first one is Hey, Listen.
Yep. So go all ahead right. And start, if you want to do an intro for that.
Yeah, okay, I got it.
Take that. Take that. I'm going to try again. This is so stupid.
Bum bum bum, bum bum bum. His music in the background is like super soothing, and I love it.
I'm just gonna send this in a separate file. This is so stupid.
Hooray!
Yay!
Oh, come on, what do you mean I need a fairy to these stupid barriers? Oh my god, I'm just gonna kill everything. I'm just gonna kill the Bulblins and... with my giant sail. Yeah, take that, you little gits. You little pieces of cheddar cheese. What the hell is wrong with me? Oh, that's another blooper. All right, I'm just going to start again. Ready?
So long.
Farewell. Avidasen. I don't know the rest of the lyrics.
Hi, Kelly. This is like minute 25, 30, something like that. I actually just realized that I spent the first 25 to 30 minutes of trying to get this thing recorded that it was using the wrong input and was listening to me from my crappy laptop mic. So that's a funny story.